As we prepare to hear the message this morning, I want to invite you to bow with me in a word of quiet focusing. Amen. And I drove into the church parking lot, and there was a car with what was to become my absolute all-time, not even close, favorite bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker said, "I think when Jesus said, love your enemies, he meant don't kill them." I think that's great. I think that is just great. So much of my life, so much of your life, is lived with the great commandment. And Jesus said, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. That is the great commandment. And I take that very, very seriously. What does that mean? And all the ways that I have messed that up, all the ways that I have ignored that. But I look in today's society with all of the chaos that is going on around. And here in mid-January, in the year 2020, in each of our local churches, in each of our local towns, in each of the nations, wherever we may be watching this, boy, my question is, how do we live that? What does that look like? Well, I believe that we are called from and called to. Now, this applies to a lot of things. For instance, we are called from love so that we can be called to love. We are called from the love that we have experienced in our earlier lives and called to love that we can share in new ways with new people in the world around us today. But today, I think what I want to do is share with you how we are called from hard work in order to be called to hard work. Except it's a different kind of work. What we need to be about is a different kind of work. So, from the book of Proverbs, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. There is a very, very strong part of the Bible that gives us instructions on how we are called to follow Christ in our faith by working hard. For instance, here is a passage from 2 Thessalonians. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every brother or sister who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle. And by we, this is the Apostle Paul and his companion. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man does not work, then he will not eat. Those are powerful words. We are called from work in order to be called to hard work. I grew up with this in my family. This was an absolute reality. I remember the day that I went down into our family's basement, down into the laundry room, and I don't remember how we got it or why we had it there, but hanging on a hanger was an old pair, almost 50-year-old pair, of overalls, the old cotton white and blue striped overalls. And of course, with something as random of that as that, there comes a story. And my mother told us this story at the supper table. These were the overalls that my grandmother used to wear when she was out and working hard. My grandmother and my grandfather had been married in 1924, and it was at that point that they purchased a house. Now, I don't know that you could even call it a house. At that point in time, the building was an old barn. It had originally been a stable, and it was 50 years old. They, over time, turned that into a home, and they added the front porch, and they added the back kitchen, and they refurbished, and they plastered, and it was home. But they almost lost that home. It was in the heart of the Great Depression that they almost could not make the payments. And it was so hard. And so while my grandpa was out and working every single night, my grandmother was out during the daytimes working at any job that she could find in the heart of the Great Depression. Now for them, she lived up in East Grand Forks in Minnesota, and this is prime potato country. And so she and her best friend, next door neighbor, Mrs. Partlow, used to go every fall, and for about a 2-month window, they would work picking potatoes. And Grandma would put on that pair of overalls. And every morning around dawn, in that September, October, whenever that harvest came in, they would go out to the potato fields. And the potato farmers would have churned up the soil so that the potatoes were loose and unearthed. And all you had to do was to walk down the row and put them in the bags. And so every morning, my grandmother and Mrs. Partlow would pick up a gunny sack and they would attach it to their waist. And then bending over, they would go down the row, potato, 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 potato. And these were 100-pound bags. And so Mrs. Partlow and Grandma would work together, and when a 100-pound bag was filled, they would each grab an end and they would take it over to the truck and hoist it up on the truck and go back all day, day in, day out. And Mom would tell the story of when Grandma would come home from work. She was able to walk home, but she was so sore and so bent over that she could not walk up her own front steps, that after a hard day's work of potato picking, she would have to crawl up her own stairs. She was not unique. Is there any one of us that in our families does not have a story that compares to that, whether it is out in the potato fields or working hard at the office, whether it is a white-collar job or a blue-collar job? Is there any one of us that does not have that story inside of our families that we believe in working hard? We are called from working hard. In order to be called to working hard. But here's what I want to do. I want to take and twist this today. There is the hard work that we have been called from. That is our workaday. You get an hourly wage, you get a salary. Here is your hard work and how you make a living. But what about being called to working hard spiritually? I believe that our nation, our world, is in deep trouble right now because of the alienation that we have from each other, the separation at times, the hatred. There is so much that is so wrong with where we're at. What is it going to take to get back into a better place? It's going to take hard work. And so what I want to tell you is, as we look at our Christian work ethic and what it means to work for a paycheck, what does it then mean to be working and called to that work spiritually? Are we ready to work as hard spiritually to build our communities, to connect and to create a healthy community, as we have been in past years, decades, and generations, to work hard to create church, community, connection in our everyday jobs? there's a lot at stake. And I'm calling us today to work together in healing. 2 weeks ago, we had a funeral in our church, and it was Keith. Of all the men in our congregation, I think that Keith Allison is the guy that I have held in the highest respect. This is a man who knew what it meant to work hard spiritually. Growing up in his life, Keith had some very, very difficult things. He really had to work hard physically out on the farm, trying to make it work, and then it didn't work, and he had to go to a plan B, and he had to figure out how to make his life work and how to raise his family, how to keep a successful marriage. And he figured it out. He was an optometrist. But the thing that was so amazing about Keith was that he was absolutely willing to work hard spiritually. It was so much of an adventure when Keith would come in and visit me. Sometimes he would call ahead and he'd make an appointment, and sometimes he would just show up. Sometimes it was just for chitty chat, and sometimes it was for really serious conversations. And those were amazing conversations, because Keith would come in and we would sit in my office, and he would say, "Hey, here's what I heard in last week's sermon. And I want you to know I'm really concerned about that. Can you explain to me that more deeply?" And so we would sit and we would talk, and I would try as best I could to explain what I was trying to communicate. And Keith had questions, all the time questions. But what was amazing about this is that sometimes we would wind up in agreement, and sometimes we would wind up in total disagreement. But wherever it was, Keith worked hard spiritually at all times. I knew that no matter what the conversation was, that Keith every day prayed for me, and I prayed for Keith. I knew that all the time that Keith every day was working in his Bible. I knew that he was doing devotions. I knew that he was actively praying. This was a man who was working very hard spiritually. Man, what a great example for me. We are called from working hard so that we can be called to working hard, sometimes in very different ways. We are called to work hard spiritually. Now, why would this be so important? There's a whole lot of anger out there right now. And when I say out there, I mean, well, of course, Washington, D.C., and all of the episodes that have been happening over there, and the continued tension. Yeah, but it's in each of our state capitals that we have this tension as our legislatures meet. It is in our communities. It's in our families. It can easily be in our churches. There is this tension. There is this anger. In its worst form, there is this hatred. And to say, wait a minute. I don't think that we need to live like this. There are ways that we can deal with this and that we can combat this. But it takes hard work. It would be interesting if you and I could sit down and talk sometime. Here's a cup of coffee. And I would ask you the question, do you have enemies? Who is your enemy? And it would be fascinating for us to dive into that, tear it apart, and to say, who is it that we really disagree with? Who is it that we are ultimately disappointed in? Who is it that we are angry with? Who is it that we are so frustrated with? And to begin asking the questions then, does that person qualify to be your enemy? Now, here's a really tough question. How did Jesus tell us to treat our enemies? And the answer is one that we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear when Jesus says, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. And we hear those words of Jesus, love your enemies. And we hear those words from the New Testament, whoever says that they love God but hates their neighbor, hates their brother, hates their sister, is a liar. We are called to love our enemies. And this is fabulously difficult. Do you remember back in 1996 when genocide broke out in Rwanda and the Hutus and the Tutsis exploded in this bloodbath, and there were 800,000 deaths, murders, within a three-month period as the world just scrambled to say, stop, stop, stop. Where did that come from? Well, it had been a century earlier that the colonizers inside of Africa, inside of Rwanda, used a divide and conquer technique. And what they did was to assign people into, you are part of the Hutu tribe, you are part of the Tutsi tribe. Those tribes were not blood tribes. Those tribes were assigned. If you stood two people next to each other, you could not tell who was who. If you looked at their bloodlines, you really could not tell who was who. And you could have Hutus and Tutsis even within the same family. But somehow, some way, over the years, decades, generations, they had learned to distrust each other. They had learned to hate each other, and it exploded into a bloodbath. This is what we're talking about, is what can happen when hatred explodes, when those who are your neighbors become your enemies. No, that's not who we are called to be. In the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, there is this marvelous story of how Jesus began calling the first disciples. And there was a disciple of John the Baptist whose name was Andrew. And he became a disciple of Jesus. And then Andrew went and found his brother, Simon, who was to become Peter. And both of them became disciples of Jesus Christ. But then it goes on to say, and Jesus was going back to Galilee, and as he prepared to go, he found Philip. And he said to Philip, follow me. Philip was from the same hometown as Andrew and Peter. And Philip went to his friend Nathanael and said, we found a guy. We have found a rabbi. We have found the one we think is the Messiah. Jesus had said to Philip, follow me. And Philip said to Nathanael, come and see. Follow me. Come and see. This is what I'm inviting you to today. In the midst of all of our tensions, in the midst of all of the ultimate hatred, in the midst of the anger and frustration, all of that, follow me, come and see. These are the words and the path of Jesus. So what does this mean then? Well, one of the things that we have to deal with very quickly and time again is the issue of dehumanization. All right. You may even want to do this with me. I want to invite you to take your arms, to link your fingers, and to make a circle in front of you. Now, inside that circle, I want you to imagine all of the people that you love and know, and you qualify as, perhaps people you love, or perhaps people at least you can be neighbors with and get along with and be community with. But now I want to ask, who is on the outside of that circle? Who are the people that you qualify as your enemy, perhaps, or someone that you just do not like and will not work with? But then there are those that we don't even consider to be fully human. Who is there out there that we consider, maybe it is someone in a different religion or a different part of politics or a different nationality or a different language, a different culture, someone who is so different from us that we can't even understand them, and we qualify them as subhuman. Our United States was actually founded on this concept. When the early founding fathers in and past the Declaration of Independence into the slavery struggle, they were trying to figure out What do we do with the slaves when our United States government, when Congress is based on how many people are in your state, and that's how many representatives you will have? What do we do with slaves? And the answer that they came up with was, well, a slave is not a full person. A slave is a partial person. And they actually had a number. A slave counts as 3/5 of one person. That meant that all the slaves were on the outside of that circle. What is this called? There is a name for it. It's called dehumanization. In Nazi Germany, when Hitler dehumanized the Jews, they were not people, they were a problem. In Rwanda, where the Hutus and the Tutsis did not consider each other to be human, they were just a problem. When we look at slaves who were counted as 3/5 of a person, that's a problem. It is so careful, it is so important for us to not dehumanize people. How is it then that we can face this week? We are called from hard work, in whatever form that is, and we are called to hard work spiritually. This week I want to invite you to be working hard spiritually. What would this look like? Well, it would look very, very strongly on as how you would treat others. So for instance, can you do this in your relationships, in your thought processes, in how you are on social media and in conversation? Can you, number one, start with respect? How is it that you give people respect? Not they have to earn respect first. No, we give respect because that is a human being. And we listen to the golden rule: you will treat other people the way that you want to be treated. All right? The second thing is this. I want you to be listening. Do you notice in your conversation when somebody expresses an opinion to you, how often they ask you your opinion? It's pretty much about zero. What this means is that we are called to listen. Listen. All right? Third, I want to invite you to think before you speak. And if you are on social media, if you are on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, think before you type one letter. Think about what it is that you are saying. Think about how it will be received. Think about how it will be heard. Think about what you just randomly off the cuff threw out there onto the Ethernet. Think. All right, number four, I want to invite you to exercise kindness. It's not going to cost you anything, but it's going to make a huge, huge world of difference. Fifth, I want you to hear those words: follow me, come and see. Follow me, come and see. How is it that you can choose to follow Jesus Christ this week? And lastly, I want to give you this. It's all about compassion. How do you have compassion for even the people that you disagree with, even the people that make you angry, even the people that are frustrated, when you yourself are living in frustration and others are frustrated and angry with you? Let's begin with compassion and simply asking, how is it that we can love others? Oh goodness, there's so much more that I could be saying. But that's what I wanted you to know right now. We are called from this hard work, and we are called to the hard work of spirituality. It is not easy. We are called to hear those words that Jesus said: follow me, come and see. May it be this week that you follow me and come and see. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I lift up our relationships this week. No matter what those are, working relationships, family relationships, church and community, whatever they may be, and simply place them in your hands. Lord, help us to love this week. In Jesus' name, amen.